The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. All right, well, let's get right into the NBA playoffs. We actually did not have any games last night, which was very disappointing. But gets back on track tonight. Let's start off in the Eastern Conference. The Philadelphia 76ers versus the Miami Heat series is basically going about how I expected. Game one, Miami won 106-92. And then game two, Miami won 119-103. Essentially, they just kicked the crap out of the 76ers. I had a feeling that was what was going to happen just because, you know, Joel Embiid, he's been out these last two games. And I figured his absence was going to be way too much for the 76ers to overcome. And you could tell good old playoff James Harden is out in full force right now. He's doing his great disappearing act like he always does come postseason time. So, yeah, Miami's up 2-0 right now on the 76ers. Joel Embiid apparently has now been cleared to play, but his status is still up in the air for tonight's game. And I kind of feel like even if he plays, who knows what kind of a factor he's going to be. You know, Miami is just playing great basketball. They're so deep, and this is a 2-0 deficit that the 76ers are in right now, and I just don't really see them getting out of it. But hey, who knows if Embiid comes back and actually plays at a high level, who knows how the rest of the series will go. But so far it's going about as how I expected it would go. Then the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics series. Game two, Boston ended up winning 109-86. This series is tied at one currently. And basically Boston got right back on track in the last game. They completely obliterated the Bucks, and you know, as opposed to game one where they the Bucks completely obliterated them. So we'll see how the rest of this series goes. I wouldn't be shocked if it goes seven, just because both teams are playing great. You know, Giannis is playing out of his mind right now. Jason Tatum's playing excellent basketball too. But that's how that series is going. Then moving over to the Western Conference, the Dallas Mavericks versus Phoenix Suns, game one. Phoenix ended up winning 121-114. And then game two, Phoenix won 129-109. So they're up 2-0 right now. And, you know, Phoenix is doing exactly what I expected them to do, because I knew for Dallas, too much pressure was going to be put on Luka. He's a great basketball player, but you can't do it all on your own. And Phoenix is just so deep, and they're playing such great basketball. They've been playing great basketball all season. And so, I'm not shocked that they kicked the crap out of the Mavericks. At this rate, it's going to be shocking if the Mavericks even get one win. I wouldn't be surprised if they get one win for sure, because these next two games are going to be in Dallas. So I would expect them to at least get one of those home wins. But Phoenix is on fire right now, and they're looking to be like they can't be stopped. So, and they're really frustrating the hell out of the Mavericks at this current point in time. And then the Golden State Warriors versus the Memphis Grizzlies. Game two, Memphis won 106-101. It was a battle. This game was, towards the end, it was back and forth. Ja Morant ended up with 47 points, and this series is tied at one. And this is so far, both of these games in this series have been excellent. You know, they've both played great defense. There was Gary Payton Jr. did end up breaking his elbow on a flagrant foul by the Grizzlies, which it kind of looked like it was a kind of a retaliation for the previous game where Draymond Green had the flagrant foul, although I didn't think that was that big of a deal. But Gary Payton Jr., he ended up, busting his elbow, and he's been a huge factor for the Golden State Warriors so far. So we'll see how the rest of the series goes without him. So far this series has been has been excellent to watch. And then tonight's games, we have Game 3 versus the Miami Heat versus the Philadelphia 76ers. And then we have Game 3 between the Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks tonight. So we'll see how those games go. And then also in NBA news, Tyler Hero, who plays for the Miami Heat, he ended up getting the Sixth Man of the Year award. Definitely well deserved. He's had such a great season so far, and he's definitely been a huge factor as to why this team has been so good. So that's definitely deserving. Then a couple things happened in the NFL this week. They announced all the international games that are going to be played this year. So in London, the first game is going to be the Minnesota Vikings versus the New Orleans Saints. I'm sorry, London, that's an awful game for you guys. You know, the Vikings, who the hell knows what you're going to get with them. And then the New Orleans Saints, I don't really expect them to be a good team at all this year. So that's going to be a very disappointing game to be sending over to London. And then the second game in London is going to be the New York Giants versus the Green Bay Packers. Now, that's actually good for London right there, just because at least they get to see Aaron Rodgers. The Giants probably won't be good at all, but they at least get to see a Hall of Fame quarterback play in London. And then the last game in London is the Denver Broncos versus Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they basically play there every single year at least once. And so I'm sorry, London, that's the team that you always get. But at least they get Denver. You know, they got Russell Wilson, so at least they get to see some good quarterback play. And then the Germany game, the first time that the NFL is going to be in Germany. So the first game in Germany is going to be the Seattle Seahawks versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm sorry that they have to see the Seattle Seahawks, but hey, at least you get to see Tom Brady play. So that's about the only saving grace in that game. And then the final NFL international game is in Mexico City, San Francisco 49ers versus the Arizona Cardinals. That's actually a good matchup right there. Who knows how the teams are going to be at that point, but at least you get two division rivals. And so, yeah, that's going to be a very interesting matchup there. So those are the international games that we have coming up in the NFL this year. And the actual schedules are going to be released, I think, Wednesday, Thursday. I think Thursday is when the official schedules are going to be released. So we'll see how all of our teams are going to be, what their schedule is going to be like next week. Then moving on to baseball, just a couple things happened this week. Dusty Baker, the manager for the Houston Astros, he got his 2,000th win. Which he is now the 12th manager of all time to ever do that. So, and he's the first black manager to do it as well. And it's not shocking, you know, Dusty Baker's been in baseball like his entire life because he was a player beforehand, but then he became a manager, and he's been a solid manager. He used to manage the Giants, so I have great respect for Dusty Baker. And it's great to see him get his 2,000th win because he's a legend. So congrats to him. And then something kind of hilarious happened earlier this week. First, I just got to say, it's just like this baseball season is so weird with the umpires. I don't know what's up with the umpires, but it's like they act like they're the show now because there's been so many like crappy calls and just weird things happening. And this was one of them. So Madison Bumgarner, he currently pitches for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's actually my favorite baseball player of all time because he used to play for the Giants, and we won World Series with him. Actually, the 2014 World Series we won because of him. And I also just love his attitude on life. And he also has this hilarious accent where he sounds like Boomhauer from King of the Hill, where you can like barely understand what he's saying. I talk like this, man. My name is Madison Bumgarner. I pitch for the Diamondbacks. You can't even really understand what the hell he's saying. But earlier this week, it was either the first or second inning. And, you know, last year they started this new stupid rule where the pitcher basically has to get his hands and his hat checked every time the inning ends. And so they'll be walking off the field, and then they have to go to the umpire, show them their hands, show them their hat, and they're just checking for pine tar or substances that a pitcher might use to put on the ball. So Madison Bumgarner, you know, he's walking back to the dugout, goes to the umpire, and the umpire is not even looking at his hands. As a matter of fact, he has Bumgarner's hands in his hand, and he's like massaging it, where he's like pretending to see if there's anything in his hands. And this whole time, Bumgarner's just looking down at his hand, but the umpire is staring right at him. So it's like he's trying to goad him into being an asshole. And, you know, after after a little bit of time goes by, Bumgarner is like, dude, what the hell is your fucking problem? And he told him to fuck off, and he basically had to be held back, and then he got kicked out of the game. But yeah, it was just the most oddball situation I've ever seen, because you could tell when you watched the video that this umpire was basically trying to get him to do something, which isn't shocking, because one of the reasons why I love Madison Bumgarner is he doesn't take bullshit. He does shit like that. He's very outspoken about certain things in life and in baseball. And so I kind of looked like to me that this umpire just wanted to start some shit with him. And he did. And it was very weird. But I don't blame Bumgarner for reacting the way he did, because it was just extremely weird. All right. And then we have a couple big fights this weekend. Let's start with the UFC. They have a co-main event this weekend. The first, the one main event is Charles Oliveira versus Justin Gaethje. And this is going to be a really good fight. I'm leaning towards Oliveira, just because the thing about him is he's a great all-around fighter. He could get you on the ground and pound. He knocks people out. He gets you in amazing submissions. He's even he's won by doing the Anaconda submission, which is one of the most difficult submissions in UFC. So he's just a great all-around fighter, whereas Gaethje is just more of a knock-you-out type of dude, which he does regularly. But he's just not as exciting as he used to be. And so I just kind of think Oliveira is going to probably get him on the ground and get him in a submission, just because Gaethje's not really known for his grappling skills. Whereas, like I said, with Oliveira, he is he's just a great all-around UFC fighter. But the co-main event that I'm really looking forward to is Rose Namajunas versus Carla Esparza. Namajunas is a bad fucking bitch. I love watching her fights. Her second to last fight was one of the best, where she knocked the bitch out with just a kick to the freaking head. That was one of the greatest knockouts I've ever seen. She had another really good knockout a few years ago as well. But she's mostly a ground and pound. She's really going to get you on the ground and get you in a submission. But Carla Esparza, she's been around for a while. She actually used to be the strawweight champion and lost that. And so she's kind of back to try and get her, see if she can get that title back. She's a good fighter as well. The last fight I saw of hers, she knocked another excellent fighter out. I can't remember the fighter who she knocked out, but her last fight was really good, and it was kind of surprising too, because she was kind of, it looked like she was going to lose, but then boom, she knocked this bitch out like cold. So this should be a very interesting fight. I'm leaning towards Namajunas just because she's on fire right now, and she's an excellent fighter. And I wouldn't be surprised if she tried to get Esparza out with a submission. But hey, it would be awesome to see her kick the crap out of somebody with one of those high kick knockouts like she did a couple fights ago. So that's what we've got going on this weekend for the UFC. And then in boxing this weekend, we have Canelo Alvarez versus Dimitri Bivol. And Alvarez, he is an excellent fighter. I would say he's probably the best fighter fighting right now. I mean, he's got some great skills. He's got like the fastest hands you will ever see. And he, like his bread and butter is where he will just like hook you in the face and then he'll hook you in your body. And he's just like known for the body shots where he just knocks you out. And a lot of people don't really realize how bad a body shot is. Because you kind of look at it and go, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But they'll hit you in the liver or the kidneys or wherever. And it's like you have to come back from that. And it's usually difficult to do. And if you watch some of his past fights where he has knocked people out just with body shots, it's amazing to see. So he's definitely favored coming into this fight, even though I think Bivol is going to be he's going to be a good match for him. The one thing that I really do respect about Alvarez, though, is that he's really taking advantage of not only being a great boxer, but he's making a shit ton of money off of it. You know, some boxers over time, they'll just fight a bunch of tomato cans and just so they could get the wins. And you know, sometimes they're just getting paid. Whereas Alvarez, he's getting paid. He's making a shit ton of money. I believe he signed like one of the biggest boxing contracts in history with DAZN. And so it's great to see that. But also, I like that he doesn't just box tomato cans. He really likes to box real legitimate people. I mean, his one and only loss he's ever had was against Floyd Mayweather. And that was both of them. That was a good fight. And like I said, that's his only loss. So you lost to Floyd Mayweather, one of the greatest boxers of all time. So that's not a bad loss to have on your record there. But I just really respect his entire career and what he's done with his career. And I love that he likes to fight real boxers. You know, he's fought Triple G a couple times, a legit boxer. You know, Mayweather, Bivol, I wouldn't call him, he's 19-0, so obviously he's good, but I don't know if he's really at Alvarez's level, but I kind of expect Alvarez to win this one, and so it should be a good fight, though. Overall, it's going to be a good fight, and also, when doing research on some of Alvarez's old fights, it was not a difficult task for me. Not only because I love boxing, but also because Canelo Alvarez is fine as hell, and he's in excellent shape. So watching him shirtless working out was actually quite fun. So just thought you should all know that. All right. So today I'm going to end the show with one of my top five lists. And tomorrow is actually going to be Buster Posey Day for the San Francisco Giants. Who have had a bad week of baseball this week, by the way. They got their asses smashed by the Dodgers, got swept by them, so I'm not happy about that. But tomorrow's going to be Buster Posey Day. If you don't know, Buster Posey, he was a catcher for the Giants, and he just retired this last season. And he had a Hall of Fame-level career. He was a great Giant. We won 3 World Series with him as catcher. And, you know, he's been a part of some really big moments for the Giants. And with that being said, since tomorrow is going to be Buster Posey Day in San Francisco, I decided I'm going to do my top 5 Buster Posey moments. Just a couple of things about Buster Posey. His career batting average was a .302. That's a good batting average. He had 1,500 hits, 158 home runs, and 729 RBIs. And so let's go ahead and start off with the top 5 Buster Posey moments, with number 5 being his 2010 Rookie of the Year season. So his first game, he actually ended up going 3-for-4 with 3 singles and 3 RBIs. That was his first game. He actually ended up hitting a .305 batting average and 18 home runs that year, which ended up getting him the 2010 Rookie of the Year. Right out the gate, even when we drafted him, he was one of the number 1 overall prospects in the game. And, so he comes right out the gate and, wins Rookie of the Year. And not only did we win Rookie of the Year in 2010, but that year we won, our first World Series of 3, under Buster Posey's, time as a catcher with the Giants. So, 2010, he came in, and that ended up being a big deal for the Giants and the start of a great career from Buster Posey. All right, and then number four on my top five Buster Posey moments, the 2012 NLDS Game 5. He actually ended up, this game, they played the Cincinnati Reds, and this is game five, and they were actually down 2-0 in this series. And then the Giants ended up winning game three and game four. And then so, you know, we got them going into game five. And basically this game, they were going into, looked like we were going to go into extra innings. And all of a sudden, Brandon Crawford gets a hit. And then all of a sudden, you know, we got guys on base. Buster Posey comes up and hits the game-winning grand slam. And this would be another year where the Giants would go on to win a World Series in 2012. Then at number three on my top five Buster Posey moments, 2014 NLDS Game 2 versus the Washington Nationals. This game ended up going 18 innings, and Buster Posey actually was the catcher for all 18 innings, which says a lot because usually, especially the catcher or the pitcher, that's usually who you want to switch out in those long-running games. Because, you know, you think about it, the catcher is in one of the most awkward positions for the entire game. And for 18 innings, he ended up going the distance. And the Giants, I believe, this game was tied at zero for the longest time. And then finally, they were able to get some runs, and the Giants ended up winning in 18 innings. And in this postseason run, Buster Posey actually ended up catching 158 of the 160 innings in that entire postseason run for the Giants, which led all the way up to another World Series win. So, I mean, that just goes to show, the first two moments, they were basically about him hitting. But this right here just goes to show what a great catcher he was and that he went the entire distance. All right, and then number two on my top five Buster Posey moments, June 13th, 2012, when he caught Matt Cain's perfect game. This was the first time any San Francisco Giant had pitched a perfect game. If you don't know what a perfect game is, it's exactly what it sounds like. Basically, the pitcher pitches a perfect game. Nobody gets on base, nobody scores any points, nobody gets any hits, and there were no walks. And actually, in Buster Posey's entire career, he ended up catching three no-hitters. Honestly, if you really think about it, his entire career, he played with a lot of great pitchers. You know, they had Tim Lincecum, they had Madison Bumgarner, Matt Cain right here, I just said, pitched a perfect game. So he's been a part of some amazingly historical moments for the Giants, and that right there was one of the best ones that he was a part of. All right, and then number one on my top five Buster Posey moments is all three World Series in 2010, 2012, and 2014. 2010 and was just amazing because it was the first one of all of them. But what's great about all three of them is that basically they all ended the exact same way, with Buster Posey running up, he catches the last out, and he's running up to whoever the closing pitcher is in the final game, and it's just elation. It's just, we won this thing, and those are my favorite Buster Posey moments because he always came to play. He was never, other than the season he got injured when he broke his ankle. He was solid all the way around. He was a 7-time All-Star. He won the NL MVP in 2012, Rookie of the Year in 2010, Gold Glove in 2016, 5-time Silver Slugger Award. He's 2-time Defensive Player of the Year, 2-time Comeback Player of the Year, 2012 Batting Champion. So he's got a lot of accolades. He's definitely, in my opinion, a first ballot Hall of Famer. You never know what the Hall of Fame is going to do, though, because they're always such sticklers when it comes to voting people in. They always like to say, oh, we got to make you wait. But hands down, he is one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Shut up! Sorry about that. My dog's being an asshole. Luckily, that's the end of the show. And so those are my top five Buster Posey moments. And enjoy the weekend of basketball. Like I said, we've got We've got the Miami Heat versus the Philadelphia 76ers and the Phoenix Suns versus the Dallas Mavericks on tap for tonight. And got more baseball this weekend and those excellent fights. So enjoy this weekend of sports. Peace out, y'all.